10 years ago tomorrow, coalition forces led by the U.S. responded to the 9/11 attacks by invading Afghanistan. The ruling Taliban were kicked out of Kabul, but they remain a threat to stability, fighting throughout the country, particularly in the south and east. Well, the BBC's Paul Wood has filed this report on whether the Taliban might return to power. Now, we should warn you, it begins with a description of footage and the sound from a mobile phone video of a Taliban execution. It's disturbing.
The wind blows across an empty desert plain, whipping around a hunched figure, kneeling blindfolded and chained on the ground. He is about to be executed by the Taliban. Behind him, fighters marshal an expectant crowd. Three young women are ushered forward. The man is their uncle. He'd murdered their parents and two siblings. One by one, they shoot him. Blood for blood. God is great, they shout, waving rocket-propelled grenades in the air. It's 10 years since the invasion of Afghanistan, but NATO still hasn't beaten the Taliban. So in remote areas like this, they remain in charge. And where they have support, it's because of this harsh brand of justice, not in spite of it. A Taliban checkpoint in the province of Wardak. Where NATO has reinforced, in the south, it's the Taliban who've been pushed back. But in the north and the east, in places like Wardak province, the militants have won new territory. Why are they fighting? Mullah Mushk Alam, a Talib in the northern province of Saripol, is typical. He says an uncle and two brothers were killed by NATO bombing.
When they brought the dead bodies of my family members to my house, I decided to start fighting. Day by day, our numbers are increasing. Where there were 10 Taliban fighters in one village, now there are 100.
Our Afghan staff spoke to insurgents across the country about their campaign. Some were certainly tired of the fighting, but they said they wouldn't give up until NATO had left. Most said they could move openly in areas where they once hid from NATO and the Afghan forces. They seemed confident of victory. We went to see one fighter. He arrived with his brother, an Afghan army officer. Such divided families aren't as unusual as you might think. We sat cross-legged in a house in Kabul. At 20, Rahimullah had been in the Taliban since he was 16. He was casually chilling about being prepared to kill his brother, the army officer, if necessary.
Whoever joins the infidels, we will fight them. Even if it is my brother, even if it is my father, our religion requires this.
The last big Taliban assault in Kabul, on the US embassy. NATO says such attacks are a sign of weakness, not strength, the kind of thing you do if you can't hold territory. But while the Taliban aren't winning, they're not losing either.
Mark the Taliban! Mark the Pakistan!
Death to the Taliban, he says. We're at an anti-Taliban demonstration. There are many of these in Kabul these days. NATO countries certainly believe that firepower alone can't end this war. There has to be a political solution. But following the assassination of the head of the High Peace Council, former President Rabbani, the Afghan government has suspended efforts to reach out to the insurgents. That is probably temporary. 10 years on from the invasion, no one doubts that eventually the Afghan government, and perhaps NATO too, will have to talk to the Taliban.
Mark the Taliban! Mark the Pakistan!
That report from the BBC's Paul Wood in Afghanistan.